what would happen if a young man came to his parents, his dad in particular, and said, you know what, I've joined this group ISIS. So this is what happens when you tell your dad you join ISIS. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. By now you know this is a way of life, this way of life that we try to put out there for everyone to see, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. Maybe you've been duped, you've been watching the mainstream media and much of the information out there. You got half-truths, mistruths, all types of things. And you come and you really want to know through all the confusion. So we're going to be in this episode. We have a special guest. He's the author of Holy Wars, Crusades, and Jihad. He's with us to cover this very important topic. And we're going to, when we come back, we're going to find out what would happen if a young man came to his parents, his dad in particular, and said, you know what, I've joined this group ISIS. Well, we got a real life example for you, and we're going to have a breakdown of it, a reaction to that, and we'll break it down from there. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Deen Show. Now, before we go into our reaction video where a son is going to approach his father, and then you get to see what actually happens when he brings the information to his dad that he's joined ISIS. Let's see the Muslim response to that. But my next guest here, Sheikh Jalal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm okay.
How are you? It's good to have you with us.
It's been years.
It's been years, but not only are you the author of 50 concepts brought by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the author of Muhammad's role in Islam, also Holy Wars, Crusades, and Jihad. You've also translated half of the Quran into, half of the tafsir of the Quran by Ibn Kathir. May Allah be pleased with him, into English. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've gotten your hands pretty big. You've been pretty busy.
I'm working on translating Tafsir al-Sa'di now, which is a very good book for newcomers, for da'wah, because it doesn't go in the depth Ibn Kathir goes.
Yes.
Too. So it is really a very good da'wah. Inshallah, we have 2 volumes out, 8 more to come, inshallah.
So you've been busy all these years. You've been involved in the da'wah, helping educate people. Well, there's a lot of misconceptions about Islam.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been 26 years and I started translating, authoring books. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, so far close to 60.
Yeah.
In the past 18 years, I dedicated more effort towards misconceptions about Islam, about topics of jihad, extremism, khawarij, all kinds of things that are current for today's contemporary generation of human beings.
we're gonna get into this video and then get your reaction, our reaction after we watch it. How's that?
Go ahead.
All right.
What's up, guys? It's me, Wakas. My dad's upstairs. When he comes down, I'm about to pull the craziest prank on my dad. I have tattoos, so I'm gonna tell him it's a symbol of ISIS. My heart's literally racing at the moment. I'm so scared, but I'm doing it just for you guys.
So I guess he's faking his dad out, right? So he's about to tell him he joined ISIS, huh? So this is what happens when you tell your dad you join ISIS. All right. So I know this was kind of like we won't get into it. Should he be pranking his dad or whatnot? But I wanted to show this because many, you know, of our brothers in humanity, you know, the not yet Muslims who are out there, they kind of associate, you know, with the mainstream media that, you know, this is kind of correlates with Islam, ISIS, the insane state. But we got this is pretty much a good example of what someone could expect. If they came to the, you know, to the average father, mother, we just showed one smack, but you know, this was real reaction from the father. He's about to get a beat down. What's your reaction to that?
First of all, I like the father. I hope to meet him. I like him very much. And what he said for the tattoo first tells me that this father has been keeping up with Islamic information, because it is not allowed for you to change your body with a tattoo or anything that's permanent. This is trust from Allah, the Creator. You should keep it in the best shape you can, health-wise, and your skin, and don't do any damage to it, because you'll be asked about it also.
Oh, that's a good point. So we can even derive, because that's another thing that many people are just kind of like, you know, jumping into. Are tattoos haram? Are they halal? So you just
been established in Islam as being haram from the beginning. Yeah. Because this is changing of Allah's creation. Mm-hmm. Look how beautiful your skin is. Why would you tarnish it with something that maybe tomorrow you'll wake up in the morning and say, this is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like the symbol, maybe. I can't change it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very tough. So this is number one. The reaction this man had for his son is incredible. And I think most Muslims would do the same, except those who are not well acquainted with the religion, or they have a lot of anger against what's happening against Muslims. So they don't care what the religion says. Maybe they will suggest to their children, because I know people who suggested to their boys to join ISIS. And they went along with them too. But these are such a small minority among Muslims that I can't believe that most fathers would agree. I'll give you another example. Maybe the father is angry also against what's happening to Muslims. And if he thinks that somebody from the street went and joined them, it's not going to matter to him. If his son does it, that's a different case. So people usually who are from, who agree with this kind of violence, it doesn't matter if somebody else did it. But if it comes to their family, they would not allow it, mm-hmm. because they know it's wrong. So this brother, mashallah, the father, I love how he did it. Not the smacking part, but... It's really important for us to understand this is the typical Muslim family, period.
Yeah. There you go. This is a typical Muslim family and typical response. It's a young man is probably going to get from his family, bad reaction, you know, not a happy one, because some people think like, okay, you know, and it's these things are just so ridiculous. But you gotta sometimes, you know, address it, and sometimes hopefully people will, you know, snap out of it, because many people get hypnotized by much of the false propaganda that's out there. But I like what you said. The father was saying, you know, he was even saying, I believe,
it's a sin.
Yeah, he was saying they're not Muslim. He was saying a bunch of things. Yeah. And
about the tattoo. First, he said it's a sin to
okay,
do it.
Okay, first with the tattoo. Yeah. How about if someone says, look, what about henna? It's not permanent. Mm-hmm. What about that? If you give him a substitute, if you want, you know, put something on and not a tattoo, because wouldn't that be something equated to like a tattoo?
Well, henna, first of all, is for women.
Okay.
Woo men.
Yeah.
Don't take the woo out. Okay. Leave it there.
Yeah.
Secondly, they have to remove it every time they want to renew the wudu ablution for salah. Mm. So it's a big hassle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See? There is some kind of henna now that actually doesn't make a film on top of your skin. Mm-hmm. So it allows the water to go in.
Yes.
That's different. But henna is for women. And also, you know, they shouldn't be showing it out when they have it in their hands. They should wear gloves if they go out. You know, other men could see them. So there are restrictions to that. But henna is fine. It's okay. Yeah.
And then what was the other thing now then? So he caught, the father caught that. The father said for the tattoo, he said that's, you know.
That's isn't it a sin?
Yeah.
I love this father.
Yeah.
I like him very much.
Uh-huh. And then
I don't like the way the son made it like this, you know.
Oh, the way he faked his father out.
Yeah, because his father, I'm sure he would have felt...
Maybe he could have had a heart attack.
Very bad, yeah.
Very bad, yeah. Yeah, but so we don't agree with that, but we can take a lesson here for the general public to see, like you said, typical household, you know, Muslim household, and the son fakes his dad, but it's a real reaction to what would happen, you know, if someone said that they joined this insane state. Absolutely. Tell us about this insane state. What can you, in your book that you actually, you have a second edition to this, that it's not in print yet, right?
No, it's not.
Can you tell us what kind of points you discuss about this group?
Now, the first edition of the Jihad book, I wrote it after 9/11. It's been printed in the States, and we gave hundreds of copies to security agencies, government agencies, public libraries, because I want the people to know what Jihad says, what Jihad is really in Islam. And in that book, I made a comparison between rules of warfare between the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran and Sunnah.
Yeah.
Now, since then, that was the first edition. Since then, you have new things that happened, you know, the Afghanistan, you know, the Qaeda were completely eradicated at some point, and then Osama bin Laden being killed, Zawahiri. And the appearance of ISIS. ISIS is one of the most extreme cases of Khawarij that I have seen, and that's a lot to say. Now, the Khawarij concept is something that Islam has installed in their hearts because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he foretold about these groups that kill Muslims, that defy the Islamic law. And the defiance of Islamic law means khuruj, kharaj. So that's why they're called Khawarij. According to Ibn Taymiyyah, one of the major scholars of Islam of all time, he said the Khawarij rebelled against Islamic law. That's why they are called Khawarij. Now, what do the Khawarij do? It's the same like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda and other people. Their main point is those who don't agree with us, specifically and especially Muslims, are not Muslims. That's why they target them. The most of the violence that's been happening is against Muslims.
That's an important point. Many people don't know that this group, the Daesh, can you call them?
What Daesh.
Daesh. What does Daesh mean?
Dawla Islamiyya, Iraq, Syria. Uh-huh. Dawla means state, Islamiyya, yeah. Islamic, Iraq, and Syria.
Yeah.
Sham yeah. area. Sham area is Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Palestine.
So that would translate to Daesh?
Yes.
How about the insane state? I've heard also this. Have you heard this? Instead of
call them insane. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
The Khawarij ideas have been plaguing Muslim communities since the time of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, they killed three of the successors of Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. They killed three of them. Muslims agree that they are the best men of all time.
Yeah.
After the prophets and the messengers Allah sent. So until today, we're having problems. Every generation has its own plague with Al-Qaeda. Now, with the Khawarij. Now, Al-Qaeda itself, that's funny. You see, they became very popular. They had lots of money, especially before they did what they did in America here, 9/11, which caused them to lose a country they had in their pocket. This could be insane, called insane. Because you had a whole country to yourself. Why would you go and attack another country? So you know the retaliation will come. Then you lose everything and you hide in caves like rats, I'm sorry to say. Now, they never called themselves Islamic State. You see?
Mm-hmm.
This group now that is in total disagreement and they're enemies of the Qaeda and other Khawarij groups, they distinguish themselves by calling them the Islamic State. By doing so, they committed so many sins. Number one, they're even more extreme than the people before them.
Mm-hmm.
Because from history, Khawarij quickly split into groups who attack each other and call each other non-Muslims, remember. Then the newest one will be harsher than the one before and more violent. The things that these people did, like burning people in acid or covering them in mud or in dirt until the neck and then letting dogs eat them or whatever. This is so insane, brother, the action. But they know what they're doing. So ISIS, the biggest sin I've seen, I consider, is they brought the Islamic State, the Khilafah, into their behavior, which is un-Islamic at the core. This is what makes me angry. Now, they made people make fun of Islam, of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the jihad. Anything that's good in our religion, anything that people think isn't good, and they're wrong all the time, they brought the name of Islam into all of this. Now the Islamic Khilafah, Muslims want the Khilafah back. Not this way. That's why I have never considered them in any way or form to be a legitimate Islamic authority. They're just thieves and murderers and rapists. Mm-hmm. Look what they do to the, what they did to the Christian communities in Iraq. I need you to ask me about that. Ask me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Tell me, so that's one point, that they actually kill more Muslims than anyone else. Is that true? That's
absolutely
a fact?
Absolutely. Look at Iraq after the American invasion, which absolutely was a disaster, caused the death of 1 million Muslims. And Iraq never attacked America before. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or 9/11 or any of that nonsense. So they destroyed Saddam's regime, and now people, you know, split into so many groups, tens of groups fighting each other, including Shia, tens of groups fighting each other. You know who's fighting who for what reason.
Yeah.
So in Iraq, what happened is that if you think about the numbers, now after 9/11, I mean after the occupation of Iraq, until now, almost 1 million Muslims died. How many American soldiers?
Almost. So you're talking about the deaths in Iraq?
About 4,000, mm-hmm. 5,000. It's mm-hmm. not even 5,000. I know they hide the numbers sometimes, which is about 5,000 maximum compared to 1 million Muslims. And much of that violence is from Muslim groups against each other. Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi and his group, they were killing people right and left. And so if you compare the numbers, put how many people were killed by the so-called coalition, mainly Christian countries, of course, and who were killed in Iraq by Muslims. You'll find a significant part of that is from the Khawarij group, the Qaeda, and then ISIS, and it's Muslims. Look at the numbers. That's all I'm asking. Look at the casualties of American soldiers in Iraq since they attacked Iraq and occupied it, as compared to how many Muslims have been killed there. They didn't kill all of them, Americans. They didn't kill even 100,000. I don't think they even killed 50,000. They opened the door to all this death and destruction by bringing down Saddam Hussein, one of the most terrible tyrants that Muslims have ever had to deal with. But when they brought him down, the country split into so many groups fighting each other. So in Syria, who are they attacking? There aren't American soldiers there. Russians came later. So who in the years since they went into Syria until now, who are the victims? Muslims, Habibi. Mm-hmm. Muslims.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the Christians there that were there. It was the Yazidis. Who is this group, the Yazidis, for people that don't know?
Yazidis, they're confusing. Basically, it's a religion that combines many other religions, Christianity, Judaism, idol worship, whatever it is. It's just, I don't think the people themselves can distinguish that this idea came from here, this idea came from there. It's just a collection of things. Now, I had a debate once with one of those evangelicals who attack Islam. So their point is, look at the violence of Islam. They're killing, exterminating the Christians in Iraq and, of course, in Syria. I said, it seems terrible what happened to them. How long you said they've been living there? They said they were there before Islam came. I said, well, if Islam indoctrinates the extermination of Christians and Jews in Islam countries or under Muslim control, how come they're still living here until ISIS attacked them? Mm-hmm. All these centuries, they've been living there in peace.
The Yazidis, they...
Yeah, so if Islam says kill them, they were there before Islam came. Mm-hmm. And they remained in peace and prospering until ISIS came. So why would you bring the name Islam in it when Islam ruled that area for 1,300 years and nothing of that kind happened to the Christians? Mm-hmm. This proves that Islam does not allow violence against peaceful Christian populations.
Yeah.
You see the point here? So he's saying Islam is the reason behind the ISIS attacking the Christians. I said, they've been there before Islam. How come they lived until today if Islam calls for that? The Muslims from the early era could have exterminated them, yeah. right? But all these centuries, nothing happened to them. The fact that they're still living there is, in fact, perfect proof that Islam doesn't allow this kind of violence. Because they left them live, man. This is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The war that ISIS started against Muslims mainly, who disbelieve in their ideology, and claiming to fight non-Muslims, this war has made the people who want to join ISIS, the young people, being attracted to the war for a few reasons. If they live in here, they can't take a gun and shoot people. Okay? There they can shoot anyone they like, Muslims specifically. Here they can't rob a bank and use it to buy slaves, slave girls, belonging to peaceful communities that prospered under Islam for more than 14 centuries. But there they can go and buy these women. And they consider this as a legitimate captured during war men and women. You see?
Yeah.
So they call them slave girls. I call it zina. What zina means is that it is rape. And they should be stoned for it. See? Mm-hmm. What they're doing is completely out of Islam in so many ways. But the biggest problem and crime is the ideology. Ideology of Khawarij. I explained the ideology of Khawarij here, by the way, in the second edition of the Jihad book that's coming. I'm having more even evidence. Tens of hadith from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explain the Khawarij by name, by action, by ideology, by, and also by fate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a hadith, a statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, Al-Khawariju kilabun nar. The Khawarij are the dogs of hellfire. How can Islam be responsible for this group, what they do today, when the Prophet of Islam says, these are their ideas, this is the way they go about doing or practicing the ideas, and they're going to hellfire.
So this is, you can say that this is a clear prophecy then.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So this would also go back to, you can also equate this with, as this being a prophecy, proof of Prophet Muhammad, there's other prophecies, but to add to the proof of him being the last and final messenger sent to mankind.
With the difference being, he said tens of statements about these people. Other prophecies, maybe one statement, one yeah. incident. So this one, because of the danger of these people.
He had multiple
prophecies. Absolutely, because it is a revelation from Allah, what he says.
Yes.
So when he said it, he spoke about this group as being some of the most dangerous groups for Muslims. They kill Muslims. That's what he says. They kill Muslims. They don't spare anybody who is fearful of Allah, someone who is a good believer. They don't spare them. They lie. They deceive. They do everything today that Islam prohibits under the name of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any Islamic law that things that are not allowed for Muslims that they didn't do? Man, every day you hear a new thing that Islam forbids. You can't do that. You know that pilot, a Jordanian pilot that they captured, Mu'adh al-Kasasbah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that guy was, his plane was shut down. So they burned him alive. I had a meeting with one of the security agents in Jordan, and he was asking me about it. I said, listen, burning anybody alive is not allowed because the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, no one burns with fire except the creator of the fire. So only Allah takes people to hellfire. We can't do that now. He says, whatever. I said, I don't need to denounce it because burning somebody like this is absolutely unacceptable. However, they are put, you know, lowering people into acid containers, dogs, snakes. So it seems like somebody who's been stoned from the minute they were born until today, who claim to be Muslim, they're sitting in an office somewhere. What should I do now to people that's so outrageous? You know? And they don't care what Islam says. So the point I want to mention here, the biggest theme that those Khawarij always had from the beginning until today, we want to bring back ruling by what Allah has revealed.
Mm-hmm.
they are the biggest group who actually destroys what Allah has revealed. Never ruled by what Allah has revealed. Nothing. So they are, their danger now made Rasulullah ﷺ say so many statements about them. His companions had the opportunity to kill, to fight the first Khawarij groups. And they killed Uthman, the third Khalif, Khalifa. Islamic State, Khilafah, their ancestors killed the Khalifa. Yeah. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Prophet's cousin, they killed him. And in every generation they come up. One last point, the Hadith also warn Muslims that these groups will keep coming in every generation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't hear that, but that's why we've been plagued throughout our history with this group. They keep coming. And the one that's before them may be completely destroyed. The new ones will say, oh, these people were stupid. They didn't know what to do. You know, we're the smarter ones. Mm-hmm. And they become more violent. Akhi, I can't believe there is nothing that these people, which is haram in Islam, disallowed that they didn't do. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So to attach Islamic State to it, what's wrong with you people? Islamic State allowed you to go to peaceful Christian communities that have been living before Muhammad came and prospered after Muhammad came, stayed alive in their areas until just a few years back. You go and kill them and steal their women and call them your slave girls? No, they're not.
So this is, all of these things we're seeing, this is pretty much opposite of Islam, and this has nothing to do with Islam. That's clear, correct?
This is a perfect statement you just said, but don't fail to mention that Islam doesn't allow it.
Islam
identified this group by name and by action and by creed.
Yeah.
So it's not only Islam doesn't allow it. Islam already told us about these people.
And tell me, Sheikh, some people have brought to light that many of the members of this ideology, this group, that because you had during Saddam Hussein's era, you had, was it called the bathhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The bath. Yes.
Yeah, so when they got dismantled, many of them who were seculars, many who didn't even believe in God, they actually were behind some of the formation of this group. Have you heard this?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that true?
Yeah, but the actions of ISIS are identical to the actions of Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. are identical to the actions of the Khawarij before them and before them all the way from the beginning.
Yeah.
So the fact that some of the people today, even Shia, would join ISIS just to tarnish Islam and the Sunni Islam, it's a fact. But that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Why? Because throughout their history, they've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that today they have some people look at their ideology, at their past, their actions, their statements, their behavior, and you'll find it's consistent with Al-Qaeda and every other group that started during the time of Muhammad.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't hear that. I think I told you this last time, because the first Khawarij guy, the ancestor, who will be answering for all the sins of those people,
mm-hmm.
he came to Prophet Muhammad and objected to Muhammad, calling him, O Muhammad, O Messenger of Allah, you have not been fair. Look, he believes he's the Messenger of Allah who receives revelation. Allah is directing him to say and do whatever he
did. This is one incident during the time of the Prophet. So this person, the Prophet was giving out
money.
And then he actually had the audacity to say, you're not being fair.
Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, who wrote Zad al-Ma'ad, I'm translating Zad al-Ma'ad, by the way, alhamdulillah, it's going to be 10 more volumes, four volumes are out. He said, this guy, the contradictions he had from the beginning. Muhammad, Rasulullah, not fair. If you believe he's Muhammad, Rasulullah, you have to believe he's fair.
He's the epitome of fairness.
Yeah. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, the response from Rasulullah was, can be read two ways. He said, woe to you. Who can be fair if I'm not fair? Woe to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not fair, who's going to be fair? لَقَدْ خِبْتُ وَخَسِرْتُ إِلَّمْ أَكُنْ أَعْدِلْ. I have earned failure and misery if I am not fair. Why? Because I am the messenger of Allah.
Yeah.
If I can't act fairly, then I'm a loser.
Mm-hmm.
In another narration, لَقَدْ خِبْتَ وَخَسِرْتَ إِلَّمْ أَكُنْ أَعْدِلْ. The first one is about himself. The second one, you can read it. You have earned loss and failure if I'm not fair. Ibn al-Qayyim said, If you believe I am the messenger of Allah, and yet I can't be fair, then you are a failure and a loser. This is the Khawarij. So Rasulullah said to his people, from the descendants of this man and people like him, there will come this group. And then he started mentioning the Khawarij. You mm-hmm. see? So the issue is all about money. Do you need to take a break or something? Or we're
okay? No, keep it going.
All the issue of the Khawarij is about money. So their ancestor, he comes to Rasulullah ﷺ objecting to the way Rasulullah divided the war spoils of Hunayn, a battle. Mm-hmm. So it was about money. Okay? Now, Rasulullah said, from this man, people will come who say this, do this, and he described their ideology and practices as if he's living with us today.
Yeah.
This is how clear those descriptions are. Then they come every time and rebel against Muslim leaders and against Muslim communities, and it's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS is consistent. So they go to Tadmur, Almira, uh-huh. Almira in Syria, has lots of ruins. So they dig up those ruins, find gold and stuff, they take it to Europe to sell. The idol stuff and the things that are, you know, that could be sold, the artifacts could be sold. If they're small,
yes,
you know, they can actually put them in a bag and take them to Europe. They did that. The big ones, they brought the media to show them we're shooting down these big idols.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine? It's all about money, man. Has nothing to do with Islamic State or ruling by what Allah has
made. But we'll see many intelligent people, you know, people who are sincere, genuine, they know that. People who have looked into it, they've investigated, they know that. Because on one end, this is what Islam says, the whole Muslim world has condemned them. This is actually kind of, would you say, unified, many of the Muslims who have come together.
Yes.
But then, what is the agenda on the other side? You said money here, seems like money is the agenda here when you have the Islamophobes and the haters of Islam who are also now capitalizing, because I think when the numbers come in, I think it was from 15, let's say, to 30. The CIA had calculated how many actually went to join this fringe element, and it came out to like 0.00, you know, 0.19 or something like that. Some very, very like speck of a number compared to what we have over 6-7 billion Muslims all over the globe.
Yeah.
But what do you say that? That's the reality, the fact. This is a fringe element, very small. You know, the same way we don't equate, you know, KKK to Christianity and they say, hey, we believe and love Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're Christians.
The Prince of Peace.
Yeah. So
while shooting Muslims.
Yeah.
Right and left.
So what do you, I mean, for the other side who are constantly, you know, using this as ammunition, who, you know, to try to paint the picture, what do you think their agenda is?
Is this just
business?
An excellent question. As many questions I received about this topic. This is the first time somebody says it directly. So I jazakallah khair. The other side, you know, people said Bush went into Iraq for the oil. Yes, he did, but he also went for Christianity.
Then President Bush reportedly having claimed that God told him to go to war. Newly released memo showing that Mr. Bush's defense secretary, having placed on the cover of his daily reports to the president, biblical passages and corresponding war imagery that carefully framed the mission in Iraq as nothing less than a Christian crusade, what another faith might call a jihad.
He went in for oppression of Muslims, to control Muslims. He went for... There isn't.
He stated this also.
Yeah.
He said that the Lord told him, God, the Father told him. He said something like this, I heard.
Yeah, and in one of my lectures, I said he was deceived. His cousin, the devil, told him. Allah didn't tell him to go kill a million Muslims.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But anyway, so it's a complex reason or type of reasons or collection of reasons on the other side. It's not only to tarnish Islam. They want to bring Islam down completely. And this started from the first day.
Mm-hmm.
It continued all the way until today. They see Islam as the biggest threat. Islam had a 600-year, Christianity had a 600-year advance notice. They came to this life 600 years before Islam. Yet Islam now is the largest religion on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout their history, they know the danger comes from. So it's about hatred for Islam, wanting to stop Islam. Also, the Muslims who are practicing their religion, they're also their enemies. They want to exterminate them. They want to have them killed. Muslim countries, they want them to be always involved in warfare and violence, and so that they never stand up and become a unified country, so they can, you know, fend for themselves at least. So, and the money is always in the eyes and hearts of those non-Muslim communities, mm-hmm. such as Hindus, Christians, who fight against Islam. So money is there as a primary, but it's not a primary reason for them doing what they, but it's not the only one.
Yeah. Now you have, you mentioned Islam coming 600 years afterwards. How do you differentiate? Would it be Islam with a big I, like when we say, because usually we'll say Islam was there from the beginning, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation. We'll say that Jesus did Islam. He submitted his will to God, to Allah, Moses. So how do you make that differentiation?
It's very easy. Judaism is not Islam, and Christianity is not Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about Isa, his original message.
Did he do Islam?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He was a Muslim prophet. He called to Islam. He told his people, I'm only a slave of Allah. The New Testament says, and I quoted this in the second Jihad book too, in the first one. He says, when they run, the people who kept invoking his name in this life, oh, Jesus, help us. Thank you, Jesus. They don't thank Allah, the Creator. They thank Jesus. He says, Jesus said, you will come to me on that day to say that we used to invoke your name, you know, and this and that. He said, get away from me, O people who do iniquity. I don't know you. So people who invoke him as a God, a creator, Jesus said to them in the New Testament, on the Day of Judgment, I tell you, get away from me. You know iniquity, what it means in Arabic? Shirk.
Iniquity is pretty much...
Shirk. Associating others in the worship of Allah. That's what the Muslims say, that Jesus told them, I am a slave of Allah. I am not a creator or one-third of a creator or one in a personality of creators. I am a human being. So if you worship Jesus, it's shirk, associating others with Allah. Islam came with the same thing that Jesus told them, and taught mm-hmm. them, and Musa before him, Moses and Abraham. But they invoke his name as a God, as
yes.
a creator. They thank him, they worship him, they pray to him. They consider him one-third of whatever, a part of the Trinity. He told them on the Day of Judgment, when you come to me, I'm going to tell you, get away from me. You're committing shirk. You see how significant this word is?
Yeah.
In English, when I found it in English, I shook. Because
iniquity, shirk.
Shirk, absolutely.
Synonymous, same thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he was
because
saying...
it means you're being unjust.
Yeah.
God created you, gave you everything you have. Your entire life, existence, everything
this
that
is,
exists.
This is important. This is very important here.
Yeah.
So the Creator gave you everything, but now you give...
You thank somebody else.
Yeah, but people get a little bit surprised when you say Jesus was Muslim. Now, we know when you define it, it makes sense, that because a Muslim is one who has submitted themselves to the will of the Creator, correct? And Islam is submission to the will of the Creator.
That's in action.
Yeah, in action.
That's a part of it.
But now someone says, how was he a Muslim when that word didn't even exist?
That's, we're not talking about the word itself.
The concept now we're
the
talking.
The concept of it, being a Muslim, a prophet of Islam, means all what the Islamic religion has to bring. Very important. Number one is the creed. Every prophet who came, including Jesus, and I proved it in the second Jihad and first Jihad book, that Jesus actually said it.
In your book, Holy Wars,
yeah,
Crusades.
That he called to monotheism,
yeah,
that he is the creator.
Pure monotheism.
I am a slave. I only do what he tells me to do. He never said, worship me or I created you in anywhere form. So Isa, he came with La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And that Allah is one. See, because when they asked him, what is the first commandment, Isa, the Jews? He said, the first commandment, hear you, O you Israel, your Lord God is one Lord.
Period. Done.
Absolutely. This is La ilaha illallah.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So La ilaha illallah is the core of our existence. Allah mm-hmm. created us so that we know him by his names and attributes. He's the only creator. And he's the only one who deserves to be worshipped.
Yeah. Now, you being a scholar in Islam and also, you know, knowing the original language that the Quran was revealed in, can you tell us, because you've used the word Allah, you obviously, you know the Arabic language very well. When you open up a Christian Bible, the word Allah, is it there in the Christian Bible 17 times the word Allah is used in just the first chapter of Genesis? Is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
ask me where? Ask me how.
Where, how?
First of all, you know,
I mean, this is very powerful because on one point, people are saying this is some totally, you know, different God. But Jews and Christians, this is a very, like, important point.
Separate the Jews and Christians. Uh-huh. The Jews, what's the name of the creator in the Old Testament?
Elohim.
So you remember that Craig Wynne, who attacked Islam once and said Islam, prophet of mercy, is the prophet of doom, violent, whatever. So he says, Allah is a fake name. I had a chapter, and I don't need to explain more. I said, Elohim, Allah, God, which one doesn't belong?
Yeah.
See, God is not the name of Allah.
Break it down again. You said,
Elohim in the Hebrew Bible.
Elohim,
Allah, God. Which one doesn't belong?
God.
They brought up this name in the 15th century.
Yeah.
When they translated the Bible into the German languages and other languages, they brought the name God. In my first and second jihad book, I proved that the etymology of God, it means an idol. But now you're saying our tradition is Judeo-Christian. They believe in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has never said the word God. Jesus has never said the word God. He said Allah, Ilah, Elohim.
I found in Encyclopedia Britannica, when they trace it back to the language that he spoke, Aramaic, many have found that he said Allaha. Have you heard this? Allaha.
Yeah.
So Allah, Allaha. This is even closer than Eloh.
No. The A at the end is for respect.
Allaha.
Ah.
So that's for respect in the Arabic language.
But, you know, mashallah, you have a good brain. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have so many like you, brother. Mashallah. You're doing so much for Islam.
Mashallah.
Ilah, Elohim, Allah, God. Why would you come and say Allah doesn't belong, God does? What's wrong with you, man?
That's what you told him.
So the 15th century until now, they used the word God. But the original Bible doesn't have it. The Paul has never said God in any way or form, including when he was writing in the European languages.
Okay.
He never said God. What did you bring it from?
No. What about they say? No, he said Jehovah. Yahuwah.
Yahuwah is one way of saying Allah by rearranging the word. It's according to the community you lived in, the language there, how they addressed Allah. Still, you have the Aleph and the Lam and the Ha in it. So Jehovah, they call him, he's Yahweh, he's Allah.
That's Allah also.
Yeah.
So we don't have no objection to that.
Absolutely not.
Now, how do you connect it again?
Ilah, Elohim, which is in the Hebrew Bible, and the old New Testament books before the 15th century. Ilah, Elohim, Allah, God.
But the Jehovah part, how did you explain that again for people?
Because of the letters.
The letter.
That confirm, you know, Il is one way of saying Allah too. Il.
Uh-huh.
Abu Bakr actually, this is a Hebrew word.
Yeah.
Abu Bakr once heard something.
Now this is the companion of the Prophet
Muhammad. He's the successor of Rasulullah. Muslims consider him the best man ever after Muhammad sallallahu, and he's his Khalifa, not ISIS Khalifa. He's the original good Khalifa. Once he heard a statement he didn't like, he said, "By Allah, this statement did not come from an Il." Ilah means deity. See? It means deity. Now, the Hebrews used Ilah, Elohim. Muslims use Allah, Allahumma, whatever, how you know. So, when you hear Yahweh, it has the same foundation that comes to my ear that it confirms what the Hebrews and the Arabs used to call Allah, the Creator. And this includes Isa alayhi salam.
This is very powerful because you have a whole people stuck without the true name of God. So people are saying God. Many people don't even say Jehovah. They equate Jesus. They put him in there and they say the Father. What I often tell people, our Christian friends out there, I often, and what do you think about this? I'll tell them, look, the Lord's Prayer. It's very powerful. It says, O our Father who art in heaven. If you just say, how, you know, Ab, Rab. Ab is Father, Rab is Lord. Do they, when they call on God, they say the Father, we don't call him Father, but we would say, this is Allah, this is the Creator. And if they stick to this prayer, only praying, because Jesus is not in this prayer, and then it says, your will be done, not anyone else's, this is Islam, this is a great place for people to start for seeking guidance, isn't it? What do you think?
I think you're hitting it, man.
Yeah?
Listen, let me complete the thought about Isa being a prophet of Islam. Mm-hmm. He called to the same monotheistic ideology that Muhammad called to, Moses called to, Abraham, Noah, everybody. So all the prophets came consistently with the same faith. Now, they didn't call it Islam during the time of Isa. Maybe they did. We don't know. There is so much of that history. We don't know exactly what exactly he said or didn't say.
Yeah.
But the faith is the same, and I proved it in Holy Wars, Crusades, Jihad, edition number one, number two. I proved it from the Bible.
Yeah.
So now, they mention the Creator. They say the word Father. Islam doesn't object to describing Allah as being the Father, if the meaning is the one who takes care of his people. We are Allah's creation. He promised he's going to take care of us, like a father takes care of his family.
So in that context,
it's fine.
Okay.
Why Muslims now object to using it, describing Allah, because the Christians meant it literally.
That's the problem now. Now saying that he had a literal son and he was the literal father. But you're explaining it where, like a father who takes care.
You should read, you know, my website, islamlife.com, was hacked. And I have proof that evangelicals actually hacked my website. It's going to come back soon, inshallah. Islamlife.com, islamlife.com. I had an article there about the Christians. They came up with the concept of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, they mean Jibril alayhi salam, the angel. Now, the Catholics who are, and the Orthodox, who are the majority of Christians, I proved that the majority of Christians don't approve of the Protestant. They consider them as Khawarij. Mm-hmm. They don't consider them as true Christians.
Yeah.
They believe in also the Mother of God, Mary. I said, they found the Father, they found the Son, and the one who goes between them, they had to have the Mother. It's the Holy Family.
Mm.
They wanted the Holy Family. I mean, how is she the Mother of God? What does she do? Is she a God then? Because one Christian was saying that people worship Mary, I said, yes, they do. Most Christians, they worship her. They invoke her.
The Catholics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Orthodox. Don't forget, they're about 80% of Christians.
The Orthodox Christians?
Yeah.
Like from Serbia? From this part of the world?
Russia,
Serbia.
The Coptics.
Yeah.
The Coptics are Orthodox too.
Mm-hmm.
They don't agree with the Catholics. They're different religions. But in general, Catholics and Orthodox are similar in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Now, the Protestants now are the ones who came up with the idea we shouldn't have idols, statues, or worship images or whatever. But they worship Mary. They invoke her. I have an article here, 50 Righteous Concepts brought by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I said this is a clear example for Christianity, and I mean the Catholic Church. I'm not talking about the citizens, how don't becomes do. So they start with don't worship images. They say this is how they interpreted is that worshiping images as a way of adoration, to adore, it's not like worshiping the image by thinking that actually the person is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? When you adore somebody, you adore them for what? For qualities that they don't deserve, by elevating them to the status that it's not a human being. So Jesus, he was a human being. They made him a god, made his mother a god. So when they adore them and adore their pictures, they're worshiping them. Because worship is not only restricted to your thinking, that he's God. I'll give you a clear example. The time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, idol worshippers of his people, Quraysh in Mecca, they worshiping idols. They did not worship them because they created them. Because Allah says to him in the Quran, which is the Muslim holy book, "Wala in sa'altahum," if you ask them, those idol worshippers, "Man khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard," who created the heavens and the earth, "la yaqulunna Allah," they will say Allah. Why are you worshiping? They said these are intermediaries between us because they're good with Allah. Allah likes them. That's the same reason they go and confess their sins to the priest, a sinner himself, because everybody sins. And I don't mean that the Catholics, priests by themselves, they are sinners. Everybody sins, you know. They go to a sinner to absolve them of their sin as an intermediary. In Islam, even if you didn't do good in your religion for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, then you remember, I didn't do good. I didn't obey my Lord. Say Allah.
No intermediary. Just call upon the
and
Creator
alone.
And
he will listen to you and hear you.
Yeah. You would actually, we're almost out of time, but tell us, you would actually fit the description of someone living during the time of Jesus. Would you say that people in that type, part of the world with the beard, with the, you know, the almost like the Sermon of the Mount, right? He was wearing the thobe.
I was once giving a lecture at the University of Austin. So we had people came and professors, and we had a large crowd. We had a group of 60, 70 African-American Muslims came wearing thobe. They looked very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I told the people, I didn't fail, said, look at how beautiful these brothers are. They used to be Christian, they used to be whatever it is. Look at them. They're all one ummah. They come in to listen to me. So I said to one woman, stood up and said, Jesus is love, Jesus is this and that. Why are these women covered? They were wearing the hijab covered, you know, some of them covering the faces. I didn't know how she jumped from Jesus' love. I have no idea what happened in between. I said, listen, first of all, if you think about Jesus as being love, we agree with that. He was a loving person. However, if you go to a Christian store and buy what they claim is the picture of Mary, you will find her covered like these sisters, not like you.
In hijab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's covered, except for the face and hands, right?
Very important, yeah. People.
If you also buy a picture for Jesus and look at me, you will find that we're similar, except for the glasses. And they all started laughing. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, take the glasses. I look like Jesus. Same color, skin, from the same area of the world.
Same area also, right?
I belong to the Prophet's family. This is the first time I ever say that to anybody in public. So I am a cousin of Isa himself, myself.
You got the lineage connecting all the way back.
Yes.
MashaAllah.
So I am, and I'm wearing, and he's going to be wearing a thobe like this one and having a beard. She didn't say anything. I said, look at Isa, your own pictures that you have for Jesus. He looks like me. Mm-hmm. Mary, she looks like this. And I said like this, you know, without the glasses. Uh-huh. But of course he came from our area of the world. Europeans have nothing to do with Jesus. He wasn't sent to them. The New Testament said the statement that I'm sure you heard it, Muslims heard it, Hindus, whoever reads anything about the Bible, one of the most significant verses that he keeps saying, I was only sent to the lost house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Europeans are the house of Israel? He says, I should say it in Arabic maybe. He says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Africans don't fit there. The Arabs don't fit there. He wasn't sent to the Arabs even. The Europeans don't fit there. How they claim to be followers of Jesus and distort his message, he never once said, people, I created you. I am God. The Holy Ghost is God. Worship me. He never said that.
Never.
I have 19 in this book here, and the second and first jihad book, I have 19 references from major Catholic books, encyclopedias, major scholars. They all agree. Trinity is not in the Bible, period. Read it.
Now, I want to take the next few minutes that we have to talk about some of your books so people can actually, this is very powerful here, the rights and humane concepts. So righteous and humane concept brought by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon it. Because many people, as soon as you say Prophet Muhammad, the smart people who have investigated, they were genuine, they really want to know the truth. They love the pure monotheism. That was brought by all the messengers.
Absolutely.
You know, and Prophet Muhammad was no exception. He was just the last and final messenger. And then when you give this powerful verse, people, they're like, hold on. He was only sent for that group of people who went astray from the way. Prophet Muhammad, he's until the last day.
Yes.
And there's concepts. I'm sure even more than 50. You probably just touched upon 50.
Yes.
And they're in this book. People want to know more about Prophet Muhammad. They can get this book here, Prophet Muhammad's role in Islam. And then you have Holy War Crusades and Jihad. Tell us where people can support your work and get some of your material to learn more.
Currently, I'm visiting. I live half of the time in Jordan, by the way. When I work on my books, I stay there because I can't concentrate. I mean, people keep calling me class, lecture here. I can't concentrate. And so I'm trying to... this is the third edition, inshallah, that's coming from these books. I reviewed them. If they're ready. Yes, I would like to have these available for everybody, but at the moment, they're out to print. And it is going to be a major... advantage, inshallah, for us, for Islam, especially when you read this and give it to some non-Muslims, you know. This one explains Islam, the pillars of Islam, and the pillars of the Islamic faith in 100 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out to print for these two, and I would welcome any kind of help and support for that, because I am one man, I can't do everything.
Yeah.
But I am so dedicated to these two books and the jihad book. Because the jihad book now, the biggest problem...
Oh, you said a word now. You know, some people are getting, you know, a little bit nervous. You said jihad.
Yeah, my articles, I say a call to jihad too.
Yeah.
But when you read inside, like one article, I'm sorry, I have to say it. I wanted to give a seminar in the University of Virginia just 2 years ago. The topic was about jihad. So they said no, yes, no, yes, yes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now... When I said this, I wrote an article at the same time. Are you thinking of buying a slave girl from ISIS? That's the article, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they go and take some Muslims, did not want me to talk about jihad because they're harboring some ideas of the ISIS, you know? They didn't want me because, you know, I can talk well, alhamdulillah. You know, I studied English literature in Britain. My Arabic is much better than my English, and I'm well acquainted with what I'm writing, and I'm not a scholar, I'm a scholar, I'm a student of knowledge. I love to be that way until the day I die, to keep learning.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and gave to the university this article. They thought that the people are stupid, like them. And when the lady read the article, it says, wait a minute, this guy says this is not Islamic, this is rape. And he brings statements from scholars of today that this is a major sin and they should be stoned for it. But he gave it the title to the lady to think that, this guy shouldn't be talking. He's going to be selling slaves.
Oh, because of the title now. It was to bring people in and they try to use that against you.
Yeah, I use like this 50. My son-in-law, I think he designed my books. He started this big. I said, make it bigger, bigger, bigger. Because when you see it from far,
yeah,
you're going to be attracted to the number here and come and say, what's 50 what?
Yeah.
It's a way of attracting people.
Yes.
But jihad, of course, I say it all the time. And I keep repeating it now. I keep repeating it. But it's the way of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that led to the successes of the Islamic State in the beginning. To make it Islam and Muslims the superpower of the world for centuries. The Islamic civilization, all the knowledge. Christians and Jews lived in those countries all the way until ISIS came in peace. They prospered. Nobody bothered them. In fact, a part of jihad, I want you to remember this. A part of jihad is that Muslims fight to protect Christians and Jews who live under their control. Muslims will never allow anybody from outside to come and attack Christians.
To harm a Jew or a Christian.
Absolutely not.
That's part of the struggle. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that word for some people that are hearing it for the first time and they got the, you know, it obviously does not mean holy war.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So what does it mean in English? How do you translate jihad in English before we leave? Is it struggle to strive? How do you, that's the common.
Jihad, like we spoke about ilah, Elohim, you know, different ways of saying the same, basically the same word. Ilah, il, Elohim, Allah, it's the same word.
Yeah.
Yahweh. Even it's so close to the term. Jihad comes from the root word of juhd, three letters, juhd. It means to pay the effort. Now, what kind of effort? It varies. Now, Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, who wrote Zad al-Ma'ad, which I'm translating, and I put his definition of jihad here in the first and second edition of the jihad book. Second edition of the jihad book is sitting on my laptop there.
Yeah.
I can't print it, but I really love for Muslims to read it. I have information there about ISIS that I added and all that stuff. So juhd means to pay the effort. Now, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said there are 13 different kinds of jihad. One of them only is to fight the enemies of Islam, aggressors, in the battlefield. On the battlefield. Just one of them. What are the others? You have to struggle against the temptations of shaitan.
Of the devil.
The devil. You have to fight against your own desires to live the comfort, to cheat people, to mistreat them, to abuse them.
To not abuse them, to not cheat them, to fight against that.
Yeah.
Like that, like that's prevalent today. People are cheating, abusing all over the place.
So apart, you know, you fight the devil and his temptations and ideas and doubts about the religion that he brings into our minds. His temptations want to lead us to going astray. Temptations have to do with our desires. Mm-hmm. We have to control our desires.
That's deep, yes.
So that we don't anger Allah or, you know, cross his limits. You have also to convey the message to the people. It's a part of jihad.
Conveying the truth.
Yeah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the four Islamic law, you know, most popular Islamic law teachers of all time. He's from the 4th century of Islam, a major scholar of Islam. He said anyone who defends the religion by word or writing, he's a mujahid, he does jihad.
MashaAllah.
So jihad is me writing these books because I could work with my degrees in English or other, you know, I could work. I put them aside more than 34 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is what I want to do. I am in a unique position to transfer Islamic knowledge here because of my knowledge in Arabic is even more powerful and stronger than my knowledge in English. So I'm suited to transfer. This is what I do. This is jihad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else. When I came here today, it was raining. I started 2 hours before the time you told me to come, and you came late. I'm joking. That was a jihad. I paid the effort, man. It was raining. I could have said, man, I'm not familiar with Chicago. I'm going to stay. No, I came here because I'd like to see you every time.
Mashallah.
You're my brother, and I love you very much for what you do. And
you
the brother too.
Too.
Also, this is a struggle we have to do. So this is jihad. In fact, and I'll end with this. The women during the time of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, last and final messenger of Allah and Prophet, who came with the same monotheism message, every prophet came with, including Jesus. So the woman asked him, said, what kind of jihad can we do? Or can we do jihad like men do? He said, ni'mal jihadul hajj. Hajj is a good way of jihad. Pilgrimage. So when women go to that hajj, because it's not easy. You know, you do the acts of hajj over a few days. You know, you have to go around the Kaaba, whatever, praying. You know, next to the Kaaba, which is, it's not here. The Kaaba is the house of Allah in Mecca, and this is house number one for us with regards to being sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasulullah said, Hajj is a good jihad for you. So I said to some people, and the same, I think Austin, I said, if jihad means holy war, then what are women go to do to Hajj? To kill themselves or what? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They're praying there. They're going around the Kaaba. They didn't do violence. They don't kill anybody. In fact, the jihad itself, because of 13 meanings, only one about fighting, just one, actual fighting. It means that when I say I made jihad, it means I killed somebody on the way here. I didn't kill anybody. I'm a very safe driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I care about people. I don't drive behind old people very closely because I think it's Islamically not allowed. I don't drive too fast because Islam doesn't allow me. So the jihad that I made to come here, it wasn't holy war. Let me end with this. Holy war in Arabic would be harb muqaddasa. See? Well, I'll finish with this, inshallah. Holy war, if you translate it to Arabic, it's going to be holy muqaddas. War, harb. Harb muqaddasa. As we said with regards to the words, I repeat again. Il, ilah, Elohim, Allah, God. Doesn't belong. Jihad, harb muqaddasa. Do they sound like the same word?
Say it again.
Jihad.
That's the actual.
Harb,
yeah.
Muqaddasa.
No.
Sound the same?
No.
Harb muqaddasa is holy war. Where did you bring this garbage from?
Mm-hmm.
Holy war. Islam. Jihad. Muslim. Muslim. What's a Muslim? I have never met a Muslim in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you respect us? We are larger than you in this life. And Islam is going forward. We have seen it in our lifetime, what the promise Allah gave to Muhammad, the prophecy, that before the end of time, Islam will enter every house on this earth. We've seen it. So take us seriously, because by Allah, we will never give up struggling for our religion. You want to use the word jihad for it? Because it is the word jihad for it, for every kind of jihad, but only according to the successful way and the blessed way that Prophet Muhammad and his companions and the Islamic nation did all the way until the Qaeda came. That's why I have no sympathy with Al-Qaeda or their ideas or practices or their leaders. They messed up my religion and yours, Akhi. They made people suspect us. If they see somebody like you, they're going to be thinking like what this guy did in San Bernardino. He's working in the office with the people for years. They trusted him. He goes and takes a gun and kills them. They're not worth a spit, and I'm sorry to say that, because they tarnished my religion and yours and left a baby to be raised in a kafir country. They wanted to fight the non-Muslims because they're kuffar, kafir, or, you know. But they left their child to be raised in the same environment they wanted to fight. What kind of nonsense? Why didn't you stay in this life and don't let people be deceived for years that you're a good guy? He's polite, he's nice, he comes in time. Why did you do that? For what reason? Not for my religion, I can tell you. Because one of the worst things that the Khawarij do, and one of the things that Islam warns against, considers it a major sin, if people think that you're okay, that they're safe from you, and you betray them.
Deception, that's not allowed.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much for your time. Now tell me, how can people get a hold of you to help out with your work and
since
to
the
reach
website,
you?
Inshallah, is going to be coming, islamlife.com. Wait for that. But primarily for now, my email address. I mean, Christians target, and I have proof for that. Actually, we're going to go to the authorities to report.
These are
probably
some extreme elements.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking always, when I say Christians, I mean the ones that other Christians even don't like.
Yeah.
Because there are so many decent people in Christianity. And today, sympathetic to Muslims. In fact, I think most Christians in America sympathize with us. They don't like this oppression or anything.
Yeah.
But always you find extremists.
Like the man who just killed 17, you can say these, the KK type, the neo-Nazi type, the, you know, the far right that they call them, white supremacy groups.
But he's not a terrorist, you know?
That's an important point.
And
yeah.
The one in Las Vegas,
yeah,
is not a terrorist. Because what's the opposite of terrorism?
But he is a terrorist. He terrorized people.
I know. But
yeah.
What's the opposite of terrorism? Feeling good, happy, safe. Huh? So I wrote an article. Is it terrorism? Or he's telling people, listen, guys, I'm going to kill you, but be happy. I'm not a Muslim. It's not a jihad.
Yeah.
It's not terrorism. Feel good. Or to go to the families and say, your son was killed today. By the way, it wasn't terrorism. And she's going to say, oh, hallelujah. Huh?
Mm.
Nothing. There is no difference between somebody who is a Muslim doing it thinking in Allah's name, that in Islam's name, and somebody who did what they did in Connecticut in that school in Las Vegas.
This is like the white American version of ISIS.
The Khawarij, the Christians, yeah.
Yeah, right?
You see, I want to clarify again, because when I talk about Christians, I don't mean the whole majority of them, because Arab Christians, for example, sympathize with Muslims a lot, especially about Palestine. I'm talking about the Khawarij sects that they have. They do have Khawarij.
These Islamophobe types.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they don't call them terrorists. It's only about a Muslim. So if a Muslim is caught planning something, he didn't kill anybody, but he has been in touch with ISIS, or they call him a terrorist. This guy kills 58 people
in Las Vegas,
but he's not a terrorist.
Mm.
He killed 59, because you can't kill yourself. This is another issue we can talk about later. Suicide in Islam is a major sin that takes one out of Islam. How can one commit suicide in the name of Islam and call it jihad?
Mm-hmm.
So how you can reach me? My email address is the best way you can reach me if you want to support. I can communicate through that. IslamLife@gmail.com. ISLAMLIF, like Frank, @gmail.com. IslamLife@gmail.com. I would love to see these books, inshallah, in the third edition, and the Jihad book second edition. I'd love to see them very, very soon. So if anyone is interested to help, I'll be grateful. And the last word, I've given the Jihad book to so many FBI agents, and they really appreciate it. I had a meeting with three FBI agents in the DC, nice people, and I felt from my heart they're sincere. They don't take this as a war against Islam or against any Islamic, you know, just a group of criminals, a gang, for you know. And one of the guys who read my book before, I gave them, I think, another copy. He said to the other two, read this book. Read it. And he was asking me, what about the second edition? Because when people hear what Islam says, and my way is put a word here, reference here. You have about 180 references here. You know, I don't say anything without
proof.
Bringing the proof from our religion, from our prophets, our scholars. Al-Baghdadi of ISIS is not of our scholars. Osama bin Laden, according to one of the major scholars of our time, Ibn Baz, he called him Khawarij. So for Muslims who don't like what I'm saying now, get over it. I'm going to keep saying it, wallah. And I have never been a coward in my life. Because Muslims need to know this too, so that they are not deceived by the propaganda. Non-Muslims need to do it, because this is the type of jihad that I can do well, bi'idhnillah.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jazakallah khair.
Thanks.
And thank you for tuning in. We learned a lot. You see what happens to the son who comes to his father and gives him this crazy news that has nothing to do with Islam. So we dispel that myth, separating Islam from ISIS. ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. Called it the insane state. The crazy things that are going on there has nothing to do with Islam. We learned about Jesus. We learned about so many different topics here. The last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So you got informed. You got informed. You continue to tune in and you learn more. And if you have any other questions, you can call us 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll see you next time. Until then, subscribe if you haven't already. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.